I'm thankful that Sister Belinda was mentioning this morning. I'm just thankful we're all God's people. It doesn't matter what color we are, or what gender we are, or how old we are. We're just all God's people as He's living in our heart, as the young people sang about. I feel very strongly that unless the Holy Spirit blesses us in our services, we don't have anything. We don't have entertainment to offer. We don't have the... I don't want men's wisdom. And I don't want to waste time. And I know at the end of the meeting that after being in so many services, just naturally start to get tired. And after eating, and there's probably going to be some that feel pretty tired this afternoon. And I don't want to waste your time, but God gave me a message to preach in Fresno. And on the way out here, the Lord was just gave me this message, and it had Fresno's name on it. And I want to be faithful to the Lord. And I would ask for your attention and for your prayers this afternoon, that the Lord would minister to each one of our hearts. It's a blessing to see the young people moving out for the Lord. That's a blessing to me, as I'm sure it is each one. Thinking about the church of God, what is the church? The church of God is every blood-washed one. That's what the church of God is. The church of God is not a group that gets together and calls themselves the church of God. This is the church right here. The church of God, as it is taught in the Word, is everyone that is saved and sanctified and living to the fullness of the truth. Now, there are people out in the world that have some of the truth, that I believe there are many honest souls out in the world. But the church of God, there is a body that God has blessed, and that is His church. And that is where you will find the fullness of truth. That is where you will find the Spirit of God having His way in individuals' lives. And when you have a group of people, if you have individuals who are living to all the truth and the light of the gospel, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they come together to worship, you're going to see God blessing in their midst. That is the church of God. Each individual that is filled with the Spirit. The message today is more maybe an exhortation to us. Let's begin with Jude in the third verse. In Jude, the third verse, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And that is the exhortation that I have for you this afternoon in the fear of God, to exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. There is I think of our faith this way. There are such things as relay races. And when you run a relay race, there's a baton that you have to hold on to. And you may have four people that are running in this race. But you know, you can run and you can even get to the finish line, but unless you have hold of that baton, you're not going to win the race. And there are many people, nominal Christianity, many movements in the world today who are running a race. But yet, for us to win the race, for God's approval to be on our life, we're going to have to be contending for the faith. Contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I think of it that there is a thing that when we have the faith, when we have the truth of God, and we're living in the fullness, you know, there are people that are coming behind us. And that we would be living in such a way that how we raise our children and the message that we give to the world, that we are getting in the faith. That we have that baton and we're able to hand it over to them. But there are times in a relay race when someone loses the baton. They're running the race and they drop it, and you know it's not going to do them any good to keep on running. It's not going to accomplish anything. And they can be there exerting themselves, sweating and working hard to get to the finish line. But if the baton is back there, they're not going to win the race. I'm interested this afternoon in making it to heaven. It is my goal to make heaven my home. And I'm sure each one of us in here this afternoon would say, yes, I want to make heaven. But I want to tell you this afternoon, the only way we're going to make heaven is going to be to earnestly contend for the faith. To contend means to strive against rivals or difficulties. To strive means to struggle in opposition. If there is a time that we're facing opposition, it is in the time that we live today. The sister testified this morning that when she was a young person, she didn't face the things that young people are facing today. There's opposition. And there are things that are coming against us today if we're not earnestly, sincerely, with everything that we have, contending for the faith, struggling and striving to hold on to the faith that God has given to us, we're going to lose it. And there have been people that have one time had a good experience with God, and God has blessed their life, and they drop the baton. They begin to give up. They begin to let some parts of the faith go. When I say faith, I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the fullness of the Word. I'm not going to make it to heaven by taking most of the Word and living to it. I'm going to have to adhere to every single doctrine and every single Scripture that is in the Word of God. And if I let up on one point and I do it with knowledge, I'm going to fall short of making heaven my home. And I can continue to live this way. And I can continue to preach this thing and teach my children. But if there's one point that I'm lacking in, doesn't the Scripture say if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty in all? Folks, let's earnestly contend for the faith. Let's struggle against the opposition. If you have not faced the opposition, then you need to get and pray to God to open up your eyes, because we face opposition. When you stand for truth, when you stand for this faith, you will face opposition. It's in the world today. It is not only just in the world, it's in families. It's in people who have been raised knowing the truth that we're facing opposition today. Lord, help us to contend. Lord, help us to struggle and not give in to any of the influences that the enemy would try to bring in our midst. But let's stand true to God. Let's be faithful. There's a song, I don't know all of it, but part of the word says something about, may those who come behind us find us faithful. And may it be that when the Lord Jesus Himself, didn't He say, when I return, will I find faith? Will I find faith when I return? This is Jesus speaking. The Son of God asked the question, will I find individuals who are still contending for the faith? Not a new faith, not a new truth, not new revelations. The Scripture says to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I want the old-time way. We sing the song, it's the old-time religion, it's good enough for me. And folks, it's not only good enough, it's the only way that we're going to make it to heaven. It's the old way. Ask for the old paths, the way the saints used to live, that God blessed their lives. Folks, that's what I want in my life today. I don't want to live my life. I don't want to change the way I live because a group of people get together and say it's going to be different. I want to live the way that Jesus told us to live, in the fullness of the gospel, and not to let down on one point. Because if we do, we drop the baton and we're going to lose the race. With knowledge comes responsibility. And when God has revealed to you what the faith is and you begin to let down on it, God is going to hold us each one responsible for that. In Ephesians in the 6th chapter, the brother Taylor last night after the message began to exhort, and I thought, well, Lord, he's preaching the message right there. And I believe the Lord has a little bit more for us. And he read this scripture in the 6th chapter of Ephesians in the 10th verse. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what? We're not contending one with another. We're not contending against individuals, but there are spirits in the world. There are spirits of wickedness, of evil. There are spirits, it says here, wickedness in high places. And those are what we're fighting against today. It's not something that I can just always see that that person is my enemy. No, it's not flesh and blood. There are spirits that are coming against the camp of the saints today. There are spirits in the world. The devil is doing everything that he can to deceive. And the Scripture talks about false prophets coming among, trying to deceive the very elect. You know that we're not exempt from that. I can say I have an understanding of the truth, and nobody's going to sway me. But I don't fear the man that comes in off the street that says this is the way you ought to do it. There will be those that were raised knowing the truth. Individuals who God has revealed, this is the faith. It is when those people begin to propagate a doctrine that is not in the Word of God. That is where it will begin to deceive the very elect. Individuals who one time had a close walk with God, and we esteem them and look to them for counsel and prayer and for advice. When they begin to deviate from the Word of God, and there will still be those that they have a following. To follow them, folks, let's get our eyes on the Savior. Let's get our eyes off the worldly, temporal, men's wisdom and men's philosophies and contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. There are sometimes people say we have new life. Folks, I don't want new light. I want the life that Jesus gave. And if it does not in accordance with the Word of God, we need to put it on the shelf and leave it there. Let's earnestly contend for the faith. Wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. In a physical warfare, it's kind of nice because you know that the lines are drawn right here. This is where the line's drawn. These people are our enemy. But in a spiritual warfare, it's not always that obvious. The devil is doing. The devil has a lot of different faces he can put on. The devil has a lot of different cloaks that he'll wear, and they are all these powers trying to deceive the elect. They're the powers that are trying to cause us, the elect that God has chosen, to cause us to deviate from the faith that God has given to us. In Revelation, the 16th chapter, Revelation is filled with this that we'd like just to get a little bit of this afternoon. The 16th chapter of Revelation, in the 13th verse, it said, "And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Blessed is he that's earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." We're fighting a battle today. Some people are waiting till there's a physical battle that occurs. We're in the battle today, saints. We're in a spiritual warfare today. And I don't want to face this battle with blinders over my eyes. I don't want to go into this battle with ignorance. I want to go in knowing where I stand before God. I want to go and fight the devil on God's grounds, knowing this is the truth. And when the devil tries to bring things that are contrary to the Word, I'm going to have something to stand on. This is the Word of God, and we're going to contend for it. Not give up. Do you know that division is not caused by people who are contending for the faith? There have been times in the history of the church where the club of division-making has been held on the people of God, those that were being faithful. There is a group that gets together and says, if you don't go with us, you're causing division. And division is sin. Folks, division is when it's contrary to the Word of God. That is division. And if I'm the only one left contending for the faith and the whole congregation does something else, I'm not causing division. I'm standing true to God. I'm contending for the faith that was delivered to the saints. If each one of us this afternoon would get that desire in our heart that, Lord, regardless, regardless of what people do, regardless of what the works, the movements in the world, regardless of where they go, Lord, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to stay this way till, Lord, You come back for me. But I want to know, I want to be aware. And the Lord wants us to have our eyes open that we are in a warfare today. We are in a battle. And those who can hurt us worse are those that are close to us. Those who can get in just in a natural, physical sense, those who can hurt your feelings worse are those who love you the most sometimes, aren't they? Those who can begin to really get to you, if you want to say that, are those that know you the best. We need to be aware the devil is going to use any means that he can to cause us to drop our baton. We're running a race. We're fighting in a warfare and a battle this afternoon, that let's hang on tight. Let's get hold of the truth. Let us study. The Scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I used to kind of look at that and think, well, I need to study so if somebody asks me a question, I'll know how to answer it. Folks, it says study to show thyself approved unto God. Yes. Study to show thyself that God can give you, you can begin to study, and with His Spirit, He can reveal to you what the faith is. There are many people that would have questions. Well, what is truth? What is right? How am I supposed to live my life? Do you know, if we will humble ourselves before God, if we will put our ideas and our opinions on the altar and begin to study the Word and allow the Spirit to talk to us regardless of how it cuts the flesh, do you know we're all going to be coming to the same place? Coming to the unity of the faith. The unity of the Spirit. Contend for the faith. Don't give up. Don't give in, but stand true to God. He said he saw three unclean spirits come out of the mouth of the frog. And he said one of them, it said, came out of the mouth of the dragon. What was the dragon? He was paganism.
Yes.
The dragon represents paganism. And it was before Jesus came and died on the cross. The devil was the one that had power in men's life. Jesus said, I beheld Satan, his lightning fall from heaven. He was not talking about literally in heaven. He was talking about the devil had preeminence in men's life. The devil was exalted in men's life, and we had no power over him. But when Jesus came and he died on the cross, then Satan fell. At that point, the saints of God and those who would be faithful have power over the devil. No more can the devil take advantage, but yet we have a victory. The Spirit, do you know that paganism is something? We read about it happening back there. Do you know we're facing it today? Do you know the New Age movement and many of the movements in the world today, their roots come from paganism. And the devil is going to use those very things to try to draw people away, to try to deceive people. But we may say, well, I know that's of the devil. That's not right. Okay, well, if you say it's not right, the devil's going to put on another face. The devil's going to put on another suit of clothes. You know, the devil, he comes in on his horns, maybe with paganism. Listen what happens next. He comes in a suit and he looks real nice. It said he came in, the frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast. After Jesus came in the early morning church, they had the fullness of the light of the gospel and they were contending for the faith.
Yes.
The devil saw that he was losing his authority. He saw he didn't have the power that he one time had. So he said, well, I'm going to go make a change.
Yes.
And he came back, and there began to be those in the morning church that loved to have the preeminence. It said they loved to have the preeminence among the congregations, and they began to exalt themselves, and they began to establish their rituals and their forms under the cloak of Christianity. The Scripture says, talks about in the last days. It said, it goes through a list of things, and it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The mouth of the beast, that's speaking of Catholicism. They began to get, this is the early morning church. These were individuals that had the faith. And they contended for it. But the devil saw that he couldn't get them through pagan rule anymore. And so he came in and he began to cause them, as they yielded to it,
Right. Yes.
They began to establish their rituals. Yes. They began to have a form of godliness. Yes, we're Christians. Yes. And then there is one that the bishop in Rome, he said, well, I'm in Rome, and so I must have preeminence over all the other congregations. Yes. And they began to establish a hierarchy, and we can see where it went. We don't want to take up too much time, but you can see where the Catholic Church went. And you know where it came from, though? It came from people who one time had the faith.
Yeah.
It came from people like you and me, who love the Lord, who have the truth, who are contending for the faith. And they began to not have that, or they did not earnestly contend. They began to let it slip, and they just kept on running. If we keep on running when we've let our faith slip, we're going to lose the race. He went on to say, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And then he said, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. There are those then that began to get light out of the Catholic Church. And that's what we know is the Protestant movement. And God, there was some truth in that. But yet, you can say today that there are still many movements. There are hundreds of different movements in the world today that have a little bit different idea. Well, this is what we believe here, and I believe this. And they begin to establish their creeds and establish their doctrines. Saints, this right here is our doctrine. This is our creed. And at any point that someone or a group, whether it be ministers or laymen, that come together, that begin to say, this is what we believe, and we don't do this, I don't want a part of it, because this is our creed. This is what Jesus told us to contend for. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The true gospel. And when you're living in the faith, and you're salvation, sanctification, allowing the Spirit to have right away in your life, that's where the glory of God is going to be. You want to see God's glory? Hold on to the faith as it was once delivered to the saints. Laying aside my ideas. Laying aside my opinions. Okay, so the Catholic Church, people began to leave it. So the devil saw he was losing his power there. He put on another face. A face that said, we're not part of this form anymore. We're something special. We're going to have the truth. Well, do you know there are miracles in this? Do you know devils work miracles? And devils still work miracles today. There are people that can say, look at us. Look at the miracles. Look at how God is blessing. Folks, I want you to know when we're faith in this warfare, devils work miracles. And just because someone in a group is drawing in the numbers, and just because they may claim to have healings, that doesn't make it God's people. That does not mean that God's approval is on it, because devils work miracles. We're going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God to discern the spirits that are in the world. If we're not filled with the Holy Spirit this afternoon, we're going to find ourselves in situations that we will be deceived. And that is why it is so imperative to hold on to this faith, to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we might discern those things which are spiritual. In Revelation, in the 12th chapter, in the 17th verse, it said, the dragon was wroth with the woman, speaking of the church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We have here, going back, the dragon was making war on those who are standing for God. On those who are contending for the faith, the dragon was making war. Okay? The dragon lost its power. In the 13th chapter then, in the 4th verse, it said, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Where did Catholicism, where did the beast get its power? He got it from the dragon. He got it from the devil. It's all the same thing, just under a different cloak. Just a little bit different appearance. It said, the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And in the 7th verse, and it was given unto him, speaking now of the beast, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Spiritual battles. A spiritual warfare. The power was given him over all kindreds of tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Do you know that in the last days, the Scripture teaches later in Revelations that all these powers are going to be loosed in the world today. And I'm beginning to see them. The dragon gave its power to the beast. The beast gave its power to the image of the beast. We're coming to a time where all of those powers are going against the remnant today. All of those powers under a different form. The devil will try to get us going or coming. He'll try to get us any way he can to make us begin to let down on the faith. Not the new faith. Not something that I had a bright idea to do it differently. But the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The place where the Holy Spirit blessed in the congregations. The place where people were moving out for God, following the commission that Jesus said, going out into all the world to preach the gospel. That's where God's approval was. But we're in a warfare. And we are in that battle this afternoon, the battle of Armageddon. And the Scripture also teaches, I believe in the 19th chapter of Revelation, it talks about the remnant, that there were going to be some that were slain. There will be those in the last days that have one time had a good experience with God that are going to be found lying on the field, wounded and dying. Slain by the enemy. Slain by the Spirit. Where the Spirit came and the Word of God cut across in judgment. People not willing to move up. People not willing to lay their ideas on the altar. And there will be those that today, there are those of the remnant who are losing their lives. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want you to be part of that. God is wanting us all to be in the place where He can bless us. That means we have a job to do. To earnestly contend, to strive, to struggle against the forces of darkness, to struggle against the power of the enemy. And I don't want to make a big dark picture. It said they overcame all those whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you have your name written, if you're filled with, if you've given your heart to God, I want you to know if you stay close to God, you're going to make heaven. You're going to hold on to it, but you're going to have to be diligent. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you get haphazard and begin to neglect reading and praying and attending service, you're going to begin to lose something. And it will be very easy for the devil to come in and begin to deceive you. And you say, well, I know the truth. And I trust you do this afternoon. But there have been individuals who have known the truth that have dropped their baton. They've dropped the faith. If you look back at the Reformation in the 1880s, many of the ministers who the Lord blessed and used in a mighty way to restore the truth and the faith that was once delivered to the saints, they got to a point, they began to go another direction. Those are things that are only spiritually discerned. And you can look back there and say, well, they might have been right, but the mark is to tell, look where the movement is today. Look where it's gone, and it started somewhere. And because we call ourselves the Church of God this afternoon, and I believe we are, but just because we worship in a place we've worshiped for a number of years, because we see the same people, because our parents held the truth this way and they said they were the church, that doesn't necessarily make us part of the Church of God. It will only be as we continue to hold on to this faith and not to give up, not give in. In 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, the 6th chapter and the 14th verse. Said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Doesn't that sound nice this afternoon? Isn't it a blessing to know that we are the temple of God. We provide a vessel that the Lord can use and He can fill us and that He can accomplish His mission on earth through us as a vessel. But He went on to say, wherefore, because you're my temple, because, again, we heard last night, I have chosen you, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. Saints, there are individuals and people in the world that are on, there are honest souls out there. There are honest souls in other movements that do not have the light that the Lord has blessed us with. And that doesn't mean for us to be exalted. It's very humbling. But there are people who are honest that are in other movements. But the Scripture still said, what agreement hath the temple of God? And there is a difference this afternoon between as God uses you to go and reach out to people in other movements. There is a calling and a mission in that, as it is the Lord leading. But it is still not for us to fellowship ourselves with the system of sectism. And there are individuals who get caught up to say they're good people. The system of which they are in is bankrupt. It's a bankrupt system, and God is not in it. Because where did the image to the beast get its power? It got it from the beast who got it from the dragons. It's of the devil. And even though, again, there are individuals who I believe are saved in other movements that are coming to the light, that are coming to the truth, and I want to do everything within my ability as God leads to reach out to them, but if I begin to fellowship with the system of which they are, God's blessing will not be on my life. The Scripture says, what agreement hath God? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He said, wherefore, come out from among them. And this is a message that 100 years ago was preached all the time. We don't want to stop preaching it today. We need to understand our faith. We need to understand what God requires of us and what He wants us to do. So we need to come out. If we're in a place that God's blessing is not on, that does not have the fullness of truth, that the Spirit of God is not in the midst, I don't want to be part of it because my faith tells me not to. Because the Word of God says don't even touch it. It says touch not the unclean thing. So that leads us to another point. And I want you to continually remember to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Consider, we won't take the time this afternoon to turn to it. It's fairly familiar. Do you remember the children of Israel? God had told them when they possessed the land of Canaan, He said to destroy their enemies. He said to go in to destroy them and not to make leagues with them and not to make pacts with them. But yet, they went into the land and here comes a group of people. And they're in rags. And their bread is moldy. And their wine sacks are deteriorating. And they look like they've come a long journey. And they came in to Joshua and they told them that we heard about your God. We heard about your God a long way away and we came to serve you. God told them to destroy their enemies. God told them not to join themselves, not to make a pact with other nations and other groups. Well, that brings down today. Joshua, they were deceived. Yes. They believed the story and they made them servants. And there are individuals, and if we're not careful, we'll all be guilty of this, that we'll say, okay, I don't want to partake of the things of sectism, but yet there's some good things there. And so I'll imbibe in the good things. The Scripture says, touch not the unclean thing. And you know what happened to the children of Israel? Towards the end, I believe it was 10 or 11 of the tribes lost their identity. Because they began to marry with other people, and God had told them not to do it. They made these people their servants. And if we're not careful, there are some things that the Word of God teaches us against that we can say, well, sectism's doing it, and it seems to be accomplishing a lot of good. It seems to be drawing in the people, and it seems that we could have a more effective outreach if we did these types of things. If the Word says not to do it, let's not touch it. If you try to say, I'm just going to use it just to serve us, we're not going to let down, we're not going to go that way, but we're going to use these things to service. There is power in influence. You don't think that if you had a whole other nation living right among you, that it wouldn't have an effect on you? It will. And the devil knows it, and the devil is still trying today to cause us to look on other places and begin to bring new things in. And say we can use these, and we're not going to let them, we're not going to be servants to them, but we're going to make them our servants. We're just going to use them how we want to use them. The Scripture says, touch not the unclean thing. Yes. Don't make a pact. Don't make a league with things that God has not put His hand of approval on. Because when you think that it's going to serve you, it's going to turn around and it's going to overcome you. And you're going to drop the baton and you're going to lose the faith. Which means we're going to lose out in the end. Thinking about that influence, remember Solomon? He married, he had a number of wives. And he had married them, you could say, was for a good reason. It was for political reasons. There's someone in another country over here, so I'll take a wife from out of that country, and so our countries can be joined together. It sounds good. It's good politics. But yet, those wives, they did not worship the true God. And they have their idols. And now consider that Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And the Lord knows I fall very short of that. Very short of Solomon's wisdom. And I believe we all do this afternoon. God had blessed Solomon with a gift of wisdom. But yet the Scripture teaches us, it said, in his old age, his heart was turned away. And the reason was because he married and he made a pact. He married people that were not worshiping the true God. And there was an influence there. And there are a number of things that could be said this afternoon, but may the Lord reveal it to you. There are things today that the devil is trying to bring among us that if we accept them, they're going to have a strong influence. And we can't say they're just going to serve me in your old age. It won't happen overnight. You won't all of a sudden get up and say, well, I'm just going to go wholeheartedly for that. And I'm going to serve that. It happens over a period of time. And it was in Solomon's old age. We should be fearful this afternoon. Not in a way that, but if we stay faithful to God, He's going to give us the victory over it. He's going to give us power, but it makes me to have a fear that, Lord, I need Your help. Lord, I need Your Spirit to guide me and direct me. So many people today say they have the truth. So many different doctrines and theories and philosophies. What, Lord, what do I do? I don't know what's right. Humble yourself. And God will show you how to live. And then earnestly contend for that faith. In Colossians in the second chapter. Colossians the second chapter, beginning with the sixth verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He went on to say, beware. Understand that there's a warfare. Understand that there's an enemy trying to deceive. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Beware lest any man deceive you. Do you know we're in a time where there's a lot of thinking being done? A lot of men's wisdom. A lot of men's philosophies. A lot of things that say, well, it's not logical, folks. If the Bible says to do it and it's not logical, let's hold on to it. If the Bible teaches it and my human mind does not comprehend the fullness of it, let's earnestly contend for the faith. Because this is the way that God wants us to live. And this way defies human knowledge. It doesn't make sense to live above sin because it's contrary to the flesh, which means it's contrary to my logical mind that we can have power over sin. But yet we know that we can. And it defies human wisdom. It defies the philosophy of men. So we need to be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus. Not rooted and built up on so-and-so over there or this person over there. You know why there's so many philosophies? Why there are so many different people that say they have the truth? It's because they have what they want that makes it easy on the flesh. They have some things they've given and taken a little bit, and I can assure you that you can believe about anything you want this afternoon, and you can go find a group that believes the same thing. You can get something in your mind that this is the way that it is. This is my logic. And I can assure you can go and find some other folks that will agree with you. Yes, you're right. And you get together and you begin to say you have the truth and you raise your children in it and they raise their children in it and they say they're the church. That doesn't make the church of God. What makes the church is the ones that truly are serving God, crucifying the flesh, filled with the Spirit, contending for the faith. Not my idea. Not my opinion, not my logic, not my wisdom, but the faith that God has revealed to the saints. And we are facing opposition on most of the main doctrinal points that the Bible teaches today. Many of the movements are founded on a difference from what the Bible teaches. God's going to set up His earthly kingdom. The Bible doesn't teach that. But there are many that believe it. We need to know what our faith is. We need to know what the truth is. We need to study and we need to seek God that, Lord, would You reveal it to me? And this is one of the reasons I would encourage especially the younger folks that there are times that if you're not careful, we can just kind of float along. Yes, the church teaches this. And the church teaches that there's coming a time where people are going to be looking to you and saying, why do you believe that? Where does the Bible teach that? We need to have an understanding this afternoon of what is right, of what is truth. Not just that I know that God's not going to set up a kingdom. I want to know why. What does the Bible say? Turn to me, Scripture. There's a brother in Ohio. He's gone now and his mind slipped. He believed he was a pastor in Dayton. He was more of a teacher, but I've heard just different ones have told me people would come to him with a question. What do I do about this? And what's right here? And what does the Lord want? And he wouldn't say, well, you need to do such and such. He'd say, let's see what the Word has to say. Yeah. Folks, we're going to have to go back to the Word of God. Get our opinions, get our ideas, and lay them on the altar. Regardless of how logical and they are, but let us seek God and say, what does the Word of God have to say about it? What does God require? What does the truth say I should do? This is truth. The Word of God. And if we add to or take away, it is false. It is not truth. And there is opposition, we think, of compromise. Compromise, by definition, is a settlement of differences. A settlement of differences reached by mutual concessions. In other words, I'm going to have to give up a little bit. That's what compromise is all about. If we compromise, I don't want to resettle a difference if I'm going to have to concede truth. I don't want to settle differences by saying, okay, I'll yield on that point. If the Word of God teaches it, saints, let's earnestly contend for it. Regardless of opposition, the devil is opposing. May the Lord help us this afternoon. On the other hand, fanaticism is adding to. When you add to the Word of God, it's just as false and just as wrong as compromise is. Because it's not the truth that God's given us. It's not the faith that was revealed. The old one word that comes to my mind on what is our faith, it's holiness. Holy living. The way we dress, our attitudes, the thoughts, the intents, the motives of the heart, if we can have that stamp and just stamp holiness unto the Lord. In everything we do, outside, inside, everything else. Holiness unto the Lord. What does God want me to do? What is truth? You do what's holy. You do what's pure. You follow the Word of God, and folks, we're going to make heaven our home. It's not something to discourage, but I would that we have our eyes open in a little greater way this afternoon to know that there is opposition out there. Yes. And there we will face persecution when we earnestly contend for the faith. And if you're not facing opposition, I would seek God and ask Him if I'm really holding on to the faith. I may be just running a race and I may have left my baton back there. I'm going to lose out. Consider the prophets. The scripture that was read this morning, I believe in Sunday school, the prophets were persecuted for righteousness' sake. Consider the disciples. How long did they stay around? 10 of the 12, what is 10 of the 12 were martyred? They were killed because they were contending for the faith. How long did Jesus hear? His ministry was what, 3.5 years? And that was all the world could take. That's it. And they brought Him to His death. I've got to know then that for us today, when the powers of Satan are being released, opposing the true saints of God, opposing the remnant, that there's going to be opposition. And we may not last very long. People aren't going to look on us kindly when we contend for the faith. Not in a carnal sense. There are people that can have the doctrine right, and they can contend for it in a carnal sense. This is what the Bible says, and I'm not giving in, folks. You've already given in because the attitude's wrong. When we contend for the faith, it will be out of a spirit of love. It will be out of a spirit of meekness and humility, and God will bless us for it. But in that, there will be opposition. And it's going to come sometimes from others that also profess to be carrying that baton of faith, that also profess to be contending for the faith. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I too want to approach the throne of God when the Lord comes back. And the question is, will I find faith? Will there still be individuals who are earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? To do that, we're going to have to, first of all, lay aside the sin. Get salvation. And then even above and beyond that, it said, let us lay aside every weight. Yes. There are some weights that God is calling for us to lay aside. And some of those weights are my opinions. Some of those weights are my ideas. I'm going to have to crucify them. I'm going to have to put them down and open up my heart and say, Lord, I want Your way. Lord, I want Your will to be done in my life. And God will see us through as we look to Jesus. Not looking to men, not looking to the traditions of men, vain deceits, philosophies, men's ideas, but looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. In closing, let's turn to Jeremiah in the 6th chapter. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, in the 16th verse, said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways." Stand ye in the ways and see. Don't just say, Lord, I want the old way, but ask for the old way and see. Behold what the truth is. Behold what this faith is. And ask for the old paths. I don't want new light. I want the light that Jesus gave to the saints. I want the light that God gave to the apostles. You know that the Bible only has so many books for a reason? If the Lord wanted more in, He would have given it to Him back then. The Lord, everything that is in the Word of God is going to meet every one of our needs. And if we say, well, the Bible does not address the needs of today, then we're not searching the Word out. Because if we say it's not good enough and we have to add to, we're saying that God didn't give us enough. We're saying God didn't do a good enough job when we say it doesn't address the problems of today. Yes, the problems and the things we face are different than they were 2,000 years ago. But the spirit and what is addressed in the Scripture is the same. It doesn't matter how dress changes in the world. He still teaches us to be modest. It doesn't matter the persecution that comes, whether it be a physical or mental persecution. The Scripture still teaches us to have love and forgiveness. It still teaches us to stand for the faith and stand for the truth. And these these things, it still teaches us, regardless of how society changes, the place of a husband and wife in the home. We heard about the wife this morning, but you know, it still teaches the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church. Not someone I tell her to do it, and I expect her to do it because I'm the boss. That's not scriptural, folks. The scripture teaches the man to love his wife, and it means you're going to go to any extreme to give your wife love and to see that she's happy. That's Bible. And that's the balance of this morning. Well, even though society changes, men's ideas and the opinions are changing, and they will continue to change. I thank God that the Scripture still addresses all of these needs. Stand ye in the way, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. You want the good way this afternoon? You want the way of peace and rest? Ask for the old paths. Ask for the old way. Ask for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But they said, we will not walk therein. I have a new way. I have some things I kind of wanted to add. There are some things I kind of wanted to take away from what the Lord gave us. That's a way that God will not bless. And when you go that way, God's approval will not be on it. I encourage you again, ask, stand in the way. Get the faith and stand in it. And don't give in to anyone or anything. Stand in the faith. Stand in the way. But there are those that are saying, and there are many today that are saying, we're not going to walk therein. Earnestly contend for the faith. Let's be diligent, saints. It's the only way that we're going to make it to heaven. And let's run this race with patience and hold on to that baton, that when we get to the end, that the Lord would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes, there was someone who kept the faith. Amen. Amen.